hear through their ears, they hear what the subject is all about because they read something on the blackboard or on the pulpit. Just watch like you're watching a TV screen that has no station on it. Listen. Gradually. Satsang goes in two directions. One, you pick a subject and you come and talk about it. Everybody is geared to their ears to hear what the subject is all about because they read the subject on the blackboard or on the pulpit. And then there is the other method. You ask a question to make a satsang.
Centuries ago, man in his agricultural approach realized that when he wrote about his origin, this is how he wrote about it. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt in man. Now this has come down throughout the centuries, and one woman decided, well, what is Word? What can be more appropriate than my name? And it dwells in me because that's what it. repeating her name over and over and over, and various images appeared in her head. Even when great things appeared in her head, she could not accept them as God, because they had a name of their own. Then one day, Jesus came to her, and she said, "But you still the Son of God, is Jesus, and of my name, I want to find you." And suddenly, the face of Jesus changed, and instead of his face, her face appeared there, and she cried out, "Oh no, I can't take that," because she wasn't accustomed to herself being God, not a God. You see, because man is a reflection of creative knowledge and creative wisdom, but creative wisdom is science, word, name, and so when the final encounter came up, the geometry changed into her own name, and she saw herself looking back at herself as the one created principle. For a moment she cried out, "No, no, give me back my Jesus." And all through the centuries, men have developed the repetition of some word as a technique, deep rosaries or mantras, to the extent that they got identified with what they were saying at the moment. And in the sonic identification that the geometry opens up in the brain, and the full reality of the atom is revealed, you are this creative principle. But strangely enough, it became you. You don't become it. The God made us in his own image and likeness, made us female creature. But each one of us has to accomplish the experience of the identification on his own merit. I cannot do it for you. Though I can encourage you right up to the door, but I can't go inside the door. I can only go in my own door. And for that, Jesus said, "Pick up your cross and follow me. Don't pick up mine." I certainly wouldn't want to pick up his, because I wouldn't fit in the grill. I can only fit in my own road, you see? And you are fitting into your own road. So, you're given a name when you're born. Don't be threatened by it. It may not be your actual you. But if you use it as a technique of repeating it over and over and over, you'll eventually identify with the science. Because creative principle is science. Science. Name it. You heard it. But many of us will have different names. Identify with our heartbeat inside of it. And that's what the martial arts try to do. They try to make you hear your heartbeat inside of yourself. And if you can apply this resonance, you apply the identity of your origin. So, Tennyson did the same thing too when he was sick. He took his own name and repeated backwards every time. We read from right to left. Englishmen read from left to right. So D-O-G is man's best friend, and G-O-D is still man's best friend. See the one word on the back. So here is the principle in essence that enlightenment awaits us in our own science. The more you can integrate it, that's why the song, the chants, and the music feeds the deepness. That's why I said music feeds the soul. Freedom. This ingrained intimacy with song transcends optics. Optics and geometry over and over. But my father says, it's like building a fence. I said, what do you mean building a fence? He said, dig a hole for 4 feet, 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 dig a hole. Transcend the optical geometry of the brain and experience the creative presence. And the strange thing, the creative presence will take your geometry to confront you. And if you have the sense of humility, close our eyes at this evening, do you feel a breeze going through the room? Do you feel it go through? That's the presence. Sonics, acoustics, resonance, all interacting in the field. That's the link we have. When the cord is cut and is separated from the mother, respiration. But then, if man looks at it a little more in detail, he will discover that man became living soil. He did not like that statement. But manifestation requires 144 elements, and every physicist will vouch for it. It makes up this universe. It's called soil. And what is it supposed to take its dirty shoes off of it? When he stood up before the burning bush, you know. You remember that story? Remove your shoes and the ground shall stand on his holy. Moses, the great Moses, was told that by the creative intelligence, the great I Am principle. And when we really look at it objectively, all around you is vital living elements. And you are walking model of it all. From the time they cut the cord, all 143 elements were there, except the last one that let this be a nostril, to make you an individual. And then you begin living, vital, mobile, 144. Scientific evidence has shown up that you can weigh the body before cutting a cord and weigh after. beingness. So the quest goes on for reunification of the beingness. So you always feel some urge, some lack, some craving for this completeness in yourself. Don't get carried away with the miraculous concept which do exist, or the definiteness of the environment. But if Jesus, then through the trial of Yeshua, they're not fasting. One, they said he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Look at it, many labels for what this object is. I'm still looking at the Chinese and they've got a jing block. But as far as the object is concerned, you don't know who do you call it? It's here and it's kind of confront us to accept it. And that's the label. Every word we are fed, our beingness is the sonics, having no geometry. Holding together our 44 elements in unity is constantly fed by the label. Therefore, if that be the case, then you have the greatest key to your true nature, the label, and how to turn it on. So rotate it, I think it's to repeat. The birth of this process, centuries ago, up to the present time, repetition. They call it rosary, mantra, prayer unceasingly. In other words, no end to the repetition. But they never said what was the objective. They merely said that prayer unceasingly frees you from limitations. Yes, limitation was another label. Until you begin to realize that the identity of the label is the real purpose of the being. But you don't get to that understanding until you hurt yourself a lot. Because you swear every type of label for the pains that the body is encountering, and then you're fed up, then you choose one label to live with. continue to be by input of the elements, but by the resonance, the sonics that hold it together. And you are that living model. And you have to experience it yourself. We need people to remind us about it, that have gone through it, and understand it, so we don't get this heart and think it's nonsense, and get trapped in life. God is not life. God is something. Because all writings show, before the Big Bang, is something.
You heard it? Or the midnight, right?
There you go.
You see the stick of match and you scratch it.
Before it lights, you'll hear the scratch. And you hear the same universal principle going on all around you. Even the first explosion of the darkness into the light, there was a sonic resonance. So, essentially, we learn that. Then comes the next foundation, which man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We are a result. That's why the word was, and not is. In the beginning was. See, that's past it. And the word was with God. And the word was God. All these words. Spell was back at the time when you're going to saw the way through. So you're working your way back. Then you have to see it in your own consciousness to identify. After you break through that limitation and realize that it is not food that keeps you alive, but it's the identity with the different principles of sonic. Direct vibration that holds it together. You come to the next test that Jesus went through, and that is self-image. And self-image is one of the most traumatic tests there is, because you may not like what people call you, and you may not feel you're measuring up. So it can traumatize you to the point of suicide. Destroy your own image. And this is why Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord. And the ego is actually testing him. There's not yet man, not one yet. You study the devil backwards, then you know why he's not existing. You don't know how to live. That's all the devil there is. It's in the word itself, you see. So, thou shalt not tempt the Lord. Don't try to destroy your self-image of yourself or your physical frame. You didn't make it. It's kind of ridiculous to think you want to get rid of it, but it's right. You won't have to come back to face it. So, for that reason, one that cannot run from its true structure, he's got to understand it and he's free. And last but not least, there is a feeling that if you don't have enough wealth, you're nobody. Can't keep up with each other. Well, Jesus even said, when he was asked to bow down and worship wealth of possessions, it's very gently behind the scene. Meaning that every human being falls asleep at night. And in that sleep state, he has no guarantee he's going to wake up next day. And he doesn't know, or she doesn't know, if they're a man or a woman and they're asleep. last thing you spoke to yourself was before you went to bed, I'm going to go to sleep and maybe tomorrow I'm going to work.
So you're already pre-programmed for what? Waking up, right? You're going to work. So for that reason, Jesus realized that the whole resonance principle perpetuated the eternalness of the being. He stepped out of the mountain for his desert and he went to enjoy himself at a place called a wedding. Lived in the now. That's what a wedding is. The bonding of the male and the female, or the sperm and the ovum, that makes the human body. That's the marriage, that's the union. We live it over and over. Go forth, multiply, have dominion of the universe. It's this bonding principle, this unification principle. Modern science calls it the unified field. Looking back to the unified field, the unity of life itself. And it's the spoken word and the commitment to live the spoken word and experience. That's the real marriage, that's the real bonding of yourself. You're doing it every instant. You say, I'm going on the road. But if you don't walk down the road or drive down the road, you haven't finished the statement, right? And that's exactly what the relationship is. And enlightenment is not nebulous or far off of your experience. It's not. But what is it doing for you in the realization? That's more important about it. Why you want to be enlightened? Why all the teachers try to make us enlightened? Even Jesus said, speak the truth that is in you. He didn't say it's outside of you. And then he said first. He didn't say last or second. He placed specific words for the process. Seek the truth first, which is the truth. And its righteousness, that means the law and how it operates. And what will it do? It will free you and make you lord of yourself. Or in fact, lord of yourselves. The true understanding of it. You become a functional person who lives moment to moment in the full understanding of the spoken word and the commitment to the experience. And you see that very quick in a child till they get caught up in their fixation. And to be reminded that we have to be like them is not that we have to go and act like a child, but we have to take the attitude of speaking and acting and experiencing. You could put yourself in jeopardy like that, right? Right or wrong?
Wrong.
Good. And there you see. You could put yourself in jeopardy like that, right? But greater than I, that means he's giving you carte blanche to the spoken word, the potential laptop in your own atomic nature of 144 elements. He lived in the physical frame. He worked with the 144 elements, and he showed the actual key to it. It's in the spoken word. And so, for that reason, when we take on that qualification about ourselves and act the experience of the spoken word, more and more of these forces will come to respond. Why not? You have 144 elements. And they are all in you. And one more unique thing about it. No other form of life has dominion over you. The plant doesn't have it. The stone doesn't have it. And the animal doesn't have it. But unto man, the human being, is given this authority. You have dominion. You set up franchises. That's one thing you don't want you to do. God will give you power to run the show and accept you as his great offspring. But he's not setting you up for franchises. So for that reason, you have all the power and opportunity. And the end result is a spiritual aspect. That is a big stage, you know. This spiritual aspect is called immortality of the body, as evidence that we
teach us, like we would like it to teach how to the sky or somebody going on a loudspeaker very well to behave. He sets up all his instructions in the environment. And one of the unique ways is the caterpillar. The caterpillar looks like a colon. And all it does for a living is eat. Until it comes to a moment in time and spins a cocoon, which we call conscious death. And out of it emerges another creature. This other creature can fly. The caterpillar can't fly. And the other creature is called butterfly. Of all the creatures around us that are endowed by nature to fly, there is none more beautiful than the butterfly. Yet in a strange way, over the years of my research, I've never found a rotten butterfly. But I found a lot of rotten caterpillars, purposely and native too, particularly the rock. I squashed them up and they rot. So I know caterpillars do rot, but when they go through the transition into the butterfly stage, they don't rot. Yet they were there before you and I came on the planetary system in a physical frame. We didn't come to the process. Now, that was all here waiting for us. We had to take the gambler's chance. The gambler's chance is embodying our free nature in a cellular organism. To be conditioned by the label. So that's the challenge. Danny throws out millions of sperms. Only one gets to the ovum to the womb. Isn't that funny? And yet, no loser can be born. I don't see no loser. Everyone in this room is a winner. And I haven't seen a used ovum twice. Every ovum is only used once. So when we hear of these labels and we look at the actual facts of what we are selling our wonderful temple, wonderful embodiment of creative consciousness, short of what it actually is. That's where we have to review ourselves. And enlightenment, as I say, is not something endless. It is right here in the body. And it's in the spoken word of your commitment. And that's why Jesus said, the things I do, you shall do also, and the greater things shall you do. More and more as we become conscious of the relationship of the atom, capacity to identify the spoken voice or word, we can live an experience. And the experience is what we have, because you will have two wonderful results from it. One, the non-decomposing body is evidence. Two, you can be visible and visible appearance. And so Brother Jesus is working in the invisible range, but he's not non-existent. So don't kid yourself, he's got any space. He's right in the room, but you can't see him. Now, he's asking you to transcend the limitation of the optics and enter
for sure. And when we go around with our radio and hook into the radio station, we get the program. And yet, the realized beings who all live ahead of us are waiting for us to make the commitment to lock into them. Communication with a saint is not mediumship, so don't get fooled. There's a difference between a butterfly and a moth. So, you don't want to be fooled by the moth. You want the real butterfly. So, don't sell yourself short. When you sit down to close your eyes, you're not going into some nebulous region of no factual reality. You're going to exactly what these machineries are doing. But you bring it to the biological equipment called cells. With the same amount of 44 elements that those very equipment comes in. But you're working with it now consciously. The only thing that interferes is your receptivity. Just like this equipment here. So you've got to phase down your resistors in yourself and increase your conductors. And over the years, many enlightened men have come along and they all tell us, let go, thy will be done. In other words, just close your eyes, watch, don't try to analyze. It's like the same way of the TV, you turn it on, but you can't tell the station what program to play. You just have to come to that station and let them bring the program up. The program in this particular TV is the secret of you and the origin of you. That's the beautifulness of the program. What is the origin of you and what is the secret of you? And you'll see inside the atoms just like this TV screen moving back and forth. And the music that goes on in the cells, they are all resonating inside the body. We get bored because we don't see anything right away. That's where our individuality or our ego starts to rise up. That's the resistance. But if we phase it down and do like Jesus, thy will be done, or on the end, let go, let go, or just listen, the presence, the actual producer, the actual director of the whole program begins to unfold. Why? Because that principle is then resident in you. The craving for me to tell you more is that principle. And the craving for you to listen to what I have to say is that principle. That's why it will reveal itself on its own. And it will surprise you to the extent of the knowledge that will flow through you. Years ago, I was invited and living in Canada by a friend to speak at their synagogue before a great amount of intellectual people. I said, gosh, I never spoke in public. He said, but your understanding, we want to hear it. Would you come and talk to us? And his friend pleaded and pleaded. not have spelled monk for a couple of hours. And this was the truth. The person introduced me and said, our guest tonight will speak on the metaphysical makeup of man. He knew the subject and I'm stuck with it. No, no. I said, if you know the subject, you know what you're going to hear. But if somebody asked the question, then you got all kinds of things unfolding inside. And so, that was the request. I got up, and for 5 minutes I was stone dumb. I don't know where to start the talk, because I didn't even put the thing together in my own head. That physical makeup thing. I'm saying, well, if communication that says you exist, it better work now. I'm sending an SOS.
People are hungry.
logical.
That's what that person has to work with.
Then he said, what have you got? Because he can duplicate money. That would be counterfeiting. He can break the law. A wise man or a realized man doesn't break the law. He learns to work the law. So he has to know what to do. So since he would not duplicate coins or paper money, that's not the process, he asked, what have you got? And the remark or reply came back, a few fishes and a few loaves of bread. That's all he got. Now to condemn them for being meat eaters and not vegetarians would be practical either. You see? And to say he's going to provide food for the uplifted of their spiritual nature and manifested right out of the sky a whole large buffet of vegetables and fruits just to keep these people spiritual, that would be impractical too. You see? So a realized man doesn't do that. But there are people who would try to use their powers to do that, thinking they're realized. What the realized man does is, what have you got? And it's on this statement of the words they build the principle. And they said, this is what we have, bread, fish. Okay, put it there. And the consciousness begins to enter the unified field. That is the intimacy of sonics within the core of your body and the atom that holds your body together. Now, this realization and experience doesn't come overnight. It takes many years of dedicated practice to integrate sonic and atom. And we know that Jesus disappeared from society from age 12 to 30. And within those 18 years, he sure spent a lot of time finding out the inner working of his true nature. And they said he traveled into the foreign country. But in the end, it's this particular identification with the spoken word. He identifies with it and touches it and says, go feed. It was like a Xerox cutting machine. Not what was not there, but only what was there. The fish and the bread. The fish and the bread. Now, hunger is being satisfied. But in case there is an illusion in the mind that you're a victim of hypnosis or any kind of optical process that can be induced by the brain, the report says that they had 12 baskets of crumbs as an evidence that they did eat, and they cleaned it up. I have been to a party where there were 1,000 people, and it took them 2 days to clean up the crumbs. The place, to make it look presentable, for it to function again. So you got 4,000 people with bones and breadcrumbs eating like that. You know it took them a long time to clean up in order to get 12 baskets. So that's pretty obvious that they didn't fool themselves. They were living in any optical illusion. They were living in the atomic structure of the time. And they had to have the physical evidence to validate the experience. Sonics is the core of matter. We are seeing it more and more in research, especially when a singer takes a certain pitch with his voice or her voice, and this wonderful object, what you label is this? A glass. See, a fancy word. And when and one female singer. She's still alive. Anybody know her name? Is your ignorance There is a saying that goes by this: ignorance is tragedy, it's blissful to be wise.